Anna Pierpaoli. She's amazing.
Amen. Yes.
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 So, it's the 19th or not?
Is it what?
Yeah. It's the 19th. All right, I'm sure you're all asking, what's the hymn for the day in my daily cleanings? Right? Aren't you?
Yes.
You're wondering what hymn it is? All right, I'm glad you asked. So here it is. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when you're near. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Yeah. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Written by a woman, Hannah Hawkes, in 1872. And those words still resonate here today in 2026. So in the middle of the night, I got up and was praying about how we would just draw our threads together and essentially I'm putting aside prepared notes just to simply talk to you in from my heart of what I hear from you folks of what's going on. We're going to leave with that lovely, lovely promise from Colossians, you're complete in him. There's nothing you need to add to this. But let me share with you what I hear from you, dear sister, the needs, the words that recur, etc. And I hear a very strong word of hope. Would you all agree?
Yeah.
That we're leaving this weekend with more hope within us.
Yes, yes.
And that's because we have just really enjoyed the theme that you on your committee chose to be rooted in Christ. And you know what? I think all of us would look very unattractive as shrubs. I just told them, I don't want to be a shrub, Lord. I don't want that shrub like look, which is desiccated and dry and maybe correct in theology and all of that. But I just don't want to go home like a shrub. So please pray that I won't turn into a shrub. Because I, in and of myself, I'm very, very capable. And all of you are too. And wouldn't we look lovely? All of us. Collective shrubs. Can't bear it. I'm also picking up that there are some of you going through trials and need patience. Would I be correct in that? Endurance. And patience is just such a misunderstood word. And I would really like today to just have a look in, actually, before we get to the second chapter of Colossians, I'd like to dip into the first chapter that really addresses patience. So we've had two sessions and this one on Colossians, and in every single case we have a group of believers, a cohort of believers that are facing some kind of trial or crisis or whatever. So in Jeremiah, that lovely tree, and I'd love to see it behind me, that lovely tree didn't come out of anywhere. It came out of the faith of those people who kept believing in Jehovah God to look after them. It just didn't appear from nowhere. So what I get from that is that, in this trial, the hope was symbolized in this tree, planted by waters, be in God's word. It's the only safe place.
Yes.
And how I loved what dear Hannah shared this morning of God not doing things in half measures.
Mm.
It's a lovely thought, that, isn't it? He's so extravagant and so uber generous in the way he treats you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have hope. We have suffering, as they did in the time of Jeremiah. And then the dear ones to whom the letter of Hebrews was addressed, they were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They were really hurting. And yet, here we have still this message, don't worry, you're anchored in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't illustrate hope, I don't know what would.
Mm-hmm.
So as we just look now at Colossians, these dear ones, have you ever heard of Colossae, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a very well-known place, in a sense, in the Bible. There are a lot of place names that capture your heart, be, you know, at Rome or Ephesus, but Colossae, it's a bit of a non-entity. And the people that are lined up in that lovely letter, like Epaphras was the man who brought the gospel to Colossae. Have you ever been invited to a full conference on Epaphras? I would doubt it. Doesn't that encourage you somehow? You know, everything that I see in Scripture, especially from Paul's teachings, actually goes against the grain of the celebrity figure. And Colossae, there's a lineup of people, you could barely spell their names. They might be called the kind of non-entities of the early church, but you know, they made it into print.
Yeah, amen.
And they made it into the print of a sacred text that is eternal. We'll still be reading those names when we are in heaven. So don't think for one moment, any of you, that you're maybe a wee bit less than the sister beside you. Because you aren't.
Mm.
And I am grateful to the Apostle Paul for that incredible revelation of the Church of Christ. We're on equal ground on the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, dear Robin.
Mm-hmm.
What a lovely, lovely reminder for us as we remember the Lord. It's the blood of Christ that is nourishing us, helping us go forward as forgiven sinners. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So, before we even go look at Colossians, think of it. Written to a place that is definitely not a biblical destination. Written to people that are not particularly well known. And written from prison. Written from a Roman cell. So, written within limitations. Do you feel the limitations of your life? Ask me and I'll say yes. And, you know, with uncertain future about how long you're going to be able to see the headlines. God is not limited by your limitations.
Amen.
He's not limited by mine. And in fact, he can take your limitations and magnify them and make them into something you never would have thought of in your life. So this is our informal background to Colossians, rather than saying, so, written along with other letters, feel free in London when the real conference starts to read them. Of course, that would be Philippians and Ephesians and Philemon. All written in prison. So all that incredible text of Ephesians written from the limitations that Paul himself had. But Kit, wouldn't you agree, dear, that I need to talk about the road to Damascus?
Yes.
Don't I love that Damascus road and what happened to Paul? We talked to Kit a lot about that. How did it all start with Paul? Well, there he was with a destination in mind. He thought he was going to Damascus to kill Christians. And along the way, he was stopped by this incredible light. And he fell flat on his face, and he heard a voice. He's flat on his face. He's on level ground, just like the way you and I started our encounter with the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. And that voice said, "Saul, Saul." And if you ever see a double in scripture, you know it's coming out of a deep emotion. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who did he think he was persecuting? The church. We are the church. We are the Lord Jesus. That's how much that he identifies with us. You're persecuting me. Why are you persecuting me? You know, a good friend, a psychiatrist, who says that coming to know Christ is like turning on the light bulb. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you see what was always obvious. Mm-hmm. Do you like that one? Mm-hmm. It's the discovery, he claims, of something already obvious, meeting Christ. What did that voice then say to him? "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "I am Jesus." He met him exactly where he was. He knew him as Jesus. He didn't know him at that stage as the Lord Jesus Christ. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And what was Paul's immediate response? "What do you want me to do?" That's for you and me today as we leave, as hard to leave. Always hard to leave a conference where you've been close to people and close to God's word and uninterrupted time to think about the word of God and to think about one another. What do you want me to do? Are you asking that? You and I leaving here, rooted and anchored, we know that God is saying, "What do you want? What should you do?" We respond, "What do you want me to do?" Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he will give you whatever strength you need, because he took poor wee Paul, couldn't see anything. Boy, do I relate.
No.
And they took him by the hand. He thought he was going to Damascus to kill Christians, but he was actually going to Damascus to meet a fellow called Ananias, hand chosen by the Lord to touch this dear man and render to him the sight that he desperately needed after these days of total 100% darkness. And Ananias himself, he had to be prepared, because he said to the Lord, "You want me to deal with it? Do you know who you're dealing with? You know I'm killing people." And God immediately assured him, this is a chosen vessel. And he was going to be chosen for what? To suffer. Downplays that role in our lives, often called to suffer in ways that we giving never thought we call to suffering. So as we pull the threads together after this beautiful weekend together, we're going home, I trust, built up on our most holy faith, but prepared to suffer, to endure whatever's ahead for us, we don't know. Not in some martyr-like, a grim face, I will get through it. But rather just knowing that God has already found an Ananias to help you. He obviously had people to take Paul's hand to get him up the road to Damascus. So we have a Lord who is prepared. So we've actually been thinking all the way through till now about the three words. Ask of me, what did you learn from this experience of possible potential blindness? And I gave you three words. He is God. But this morning we want to leave with another notion, another layer of that reality, and he is Lord. And to be able to recognize he's sovereign, he's God, he chooses what's ahead. But for us to say he is Lord, it is actually our submission to that beautiful truth. So if your husband's asking, why don't you go to the conference or your brothers or whatever? So well, just we got two lines. He is God and he is Lord. It's a good conference. Please open at Colossians 2 for our beautiful verse of, no, this we have to be very careful here at the time. So you will just alert me, 10 minutes now?
10 minutes.
I have another 10 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So let's look, dear sisters, at the second chapter. And for the sake of time, we will not bother to worry about time and read verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Here's his prayer, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And here's our verse. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in him. What was happening? What was their crisis? Their crisis was that they were getting very heretical teachings that were already seeping into the early church, even going as far as dear old Colossae, and suggesting that Christ himself was just an emanation, just another spirit, just another angelic being. And these horrible fallacies grew to become then what is known as Gnosticism. So these dear ones, no one is ever protected. Don't ever think that this will ever hit you people, that there will be some very insidious teaching creeping in, even to your wonderful churches that are represented in this room. You're complete in Christ. Don't go for any externals that don't sound right. Go right to your elders and say, hey, I don't know about this. That's exactly what was happening here in Colossae. And dear Paul tells them, you are rooted already, built up in him. And I find it very interesting that often false teachings will seep into churches that have always stood up for the basic truths of the gospel. See, Satan can get in, and that's why he warns them. It's deceit. It is the ability to be seduced by philosophies and thinking that, well, maybe we should try that. No, you don't. Don't even begin to. You're rooted in him. And then, again, because of time, go to chapter 3 so that we can get anchored. So we are rooted, and I just found it so wonderful that this Colossae letter brought out these two truths that we have been enjoying. Chapter 3, verse 1, if you were raised with Christ, he rose again. We claim resurrection power. And that's what I already pointed out to you about Paul. When he looked up and he said, who are you? Who are you, Lord, actually? We are so consumed with identity these days. Well, Paul wanted to know who he was. I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Our identity is so rooted and grounded in him, and he says, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's our anchor. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We heard about that this morning already. For you died. What does that mean? Well, you died with Christ on that cross. Your salvation is right there with him. You died. And I love this. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Because there are so many nosy people in life. Have you ever noticed that? Wanting to poke around in the embers of your life to see who you really are. Such an innocent person. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. And if the Lord is not leading you to share some of those things that attract others with query and interest, give them that verse. My life is hidden. Christ in God, and bow your little head and say, I would rather not be talking about that because it is hidden. And he is taking care of it. So we will end today and our conference in the first chapter. We'll just go back and we will have his purpose. I'm not causing any of this.
Nope, you're not.
No, it's not you, I'm sorry.
So, verse 3, first chapter, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is my farewell to you. Praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There's our hope. Of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which has come to you. As it also has in the world and is bringing forth fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, truly pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And here we have it. Strengthened for what? To do incredible things in the Bay Area and beyond. Strengthened for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Mm-hmm. So glad he didn't say with a grim face. Mm-hmm. With joy. Mm-hmm. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him. For him. And he's before all things, and in him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
That's my prayer for you. Mm-hmm. That you will be strengthened with light and inner man. For patience, for endurance, and that you will do it with joy, and that you will, with myself, be able to ask, Lord, what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. Shall we pray? Mm-hmm. Father, we simply ask your blessing on the beautiful word of God. We pray that you would bless every single sister sitting here. We pray that their lives will be filled with light and not darkness. We pray that you would protect them from the merely nosy. We pray that you would send them home knowing that they're rooted, anchored, and above all, that they are complete in Christ. Mm. We ask for travel mercies for all of us. Mm-hmm. We ask you, like the two in the road to Emmaus, to join us, that you will go with us. And Lord, we ask that you will be welcome in each home. Mm-hmm. These are our prayers in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.